Welcome to the City Point Church podcast. Thanks for joining us. Every day is an opportunity to take hold of. So we hope this message inspires you and builds your faith, that it helps you have more of a God perspective for your day. Enjoy.
But I actually know that this word is a reverent word this morning, and I think it's a great way to end 2020 because, as Graham said before, if we haven't learned that Jesus is King and Savior in 2020, then there was no point to 2020. Yeah. 2020 was, I've tried to put it into words on how to describe it, and the only way I could describe it is the great revealing. Right. 2020 is the great revealing, but not necessarily the great revelation for all. And yet I think that we have an opportunity before we step into 2021 for a fresh revelation. Because I can't walk into 2021 with, as we know it, so many changing variables, things that go up and down, so many different mediums in which are shouting bad news or pandemic or uncertainty. I need to walk into 2020, and I'm pretty sure you too, you do as well, on something solid, on something certain. And what I loved so much about Chris and Rach, I didn't even know that they were doing that as part of the service today. I found out on the way to church we had four songs, which is like revival in the church. What I love about them bringing forth one of these sorts of songs in this season is, just because the 25th has come and gone now doesn't mean the reason for the season is to be forgotten. And in this year, for me, something new and something fresh happened that I've never before done in the Christmas season. And many of you know me well and know that, just like my mother-in-law, this season's fairly important to my life. I love Christmas. For some of you, even more than that, you know that it doesn't start in November, which is like sacrilege for some people to put your Christmas tree up. It starts in like August, when we begin to prepare what we're going to declare in this house and in our community in preparation. But I did something different this year, and it just started actually with an online order, because that's what you did in 2020. It's lots of online orders. With a beautiful study of the event season. Except that I did it early because I received it before December. But I wanted to prepare my spirit for it. And what I wasn't prepared for is that it would actually unpack the song I was to sing in this season. I didn't know the contents of it. The beautiful package, for those of you who are wondering what you can order, it's a gorgeous monthly devotional that comes out with something fresh of delving deep into the Word of God. And it's called She Reads Truth, or He Reads Truth. It's something that you can get from the States, and it's a physical, I like physical study still. And it's incredible, but they had an event book, and when I opened it up, I was astonished to find it was actually a study of the song I had to sing at Christmas. And every year, I don't know if anybody else in the house is like this, but every year when I have to sing a song, or if you have to deliver something, I love to study it out. Is anybody else a history buff and loves to study things out? Yesterday we were on the way to a friend's house for a Boxing Day celebrations, and Graham and I had to study out what Boxing Day was about. We're that kind of people. Anybody else like that? Did you know that Queen Victoria brought in Boxing Day? It was a day in which those who were blessed, put your hand up if you're blessed in the house, those who were rich, those who are blessed, those who have much, would box up gifts and give them to the poor. Yeah. That's what Boxing Day is. Did anybody remember to do that yesterday? Yes. What a tradition to bring back. What a tradition to bring back. But as I began to do a study and unpack, for those of you who weren't in our services, or you maybe didn't come to the community carols, this year I had the song, the privilege and honor to sing O Come Emmanuel, the traditional version of it, because of course we always pick new modern versions of it every year, but the traditional version called O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. And it's not the first time I've actually sung this, but this book went into a huge level of history around this song. And so I have to unpack this morning a revelation I got from it that I pray that you walk into 2021 with, because there's something to capture within the proverbs or the prayers or the hymns of old. Taken from the Word of God, this song is so powerful, and so I want to unpack it this year. I love everything about this song now that I have studied it out. It is literally a song about revering the Advent season, not just a single day on Christmas Day. And the reason I got revelation about this incredible, or out of this incredible song, it was about the longing for, the yearning for the coming of Christ on both occasions. The original yearning for a Messiah, a Savior, and how we today still are in that place, even though we have the hope and the understanding or the revelation that Jesus has come, he's not yet come to fulfillment in our lives. There is a second coming. This specific translation of an anonymous Latin prayer, O come, O come, O ye faithful, Emmanuel, sorry, was written as a prayer over 1,200 years ago in around the 8th or 9th century. And it was sung 7 days, or prayed 7 days before Christmas Eve, in a yearning that this would be the year of the second coming of Christ. This would be the year. It was literally where they put knees to the earth and said, would it be this year, God? And I kind of think, if this was written as a prayer in that day, were they seeing much of what we see today? A yearning of God's people, of the body of Christ, as we cry out, God, would you come and heal our land? Would you come and touch our hearts? Would you come and reveal yourself to this world? It takes us, this song, to the time in the minds of old Israel, longing for the first coming of the Messiah. And it goes beyond that, with that longing voice and yearning from the body of Christ for the Messiah, Jesus Christ, to consummate the history of redemption today. In the weeks leading up to Christmas, I took the time to place myself in the Bible as some of the characters. I don't know if anybody else does this. Do you place yourself in the shoes of some of the characters awaiting, longing for, yearning for, petitioning with God the Father that they might see the Messiah before they went? I put myself in the shoes of Zechariah and Elizabeth, knowing that she had a child in her womb who would prepare the way for a Messiah. It was so close. I put myself in the shoes of Simeon and Anna, who waited in the house of God that they might see the Messiah promised in the passages in Isaiah and Jeremiah. And I placed myself in the shoes of the Hebrew fathers of the time of Jesus' arrival. For you may not know this, but the Hebrew fathers at the time, who was the person who chose the names of children being born at that time, they were naming their daughters Mary. Not a singular girl in history who brought forth a Savior, but the daughters of Israel were being named Mary. They estimate at the time that of Jesus' arrival that every second girl was named Mary. That's the odds. And the reason they were naming their daughter Mary is because the Hebrew translation for that name at the time meant bitter in waiting, longing for a child who would save us. And yet, mere man did not know that a woman bearing that name would bring forth Jesus, the Messiah. They were waiting, Israel was waiting, for a king, a warrior, a great soldier to ride in. And yet the father's in such yearning and longing for hope when naming their daughters the pathway in which he would come. <laughs> 2020 all over this earth has been magnified in the groan of the weight of despair, loss, grief, loneliness, desperation, division, the sin that so easily ensnares us, as Hebrews 12:1 puts it. But 2,020 years ago, hope came. And yet the hope, and yet the word hope does not fully sum up what we received at his arrival. Isaiah 9:6 prophesied this. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. What powerful, meaningful words to sum up and describe who Jesus is, and yet God the Father, not wanting to leave any detail out, not wanting to be seen as divided from us, not wanting to see or bring a Savior who would just lord over all, he makes it extremely personal for each and every one of us, and he names him Emmanuel, meaning God with us. God with us. So God humbled himself and is humbled to come and be God with us, Emmanuel. So Emmanuel arrives. As the beautiful hymn says, the day spring rises, and we learn that redemption has only just begun. Because he came, final blood is shed, a debt is paid, forgiveness is purchased, God's wrath is removed, adoption is secured, the down payment is in the bank, the first fruits of harvest are in the barn, your future is sure, your joy is great, and yet the end is not here. Death still snatches away, disease still makes us miserable, calamity still strikes, Satan still prowls, flesh still wars against the spirit, sin still indwells, and we still groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for the final adoption as sons and daughters, the redemption of our bodies, as it says in Romans 8:23. We still wait or long for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, it says in 1 Corinthians 1:7. We still wait for final deliverance from the wrath to come, 1 Thessalonians 1:10. And we still wait for the hope of righteousness, as Gray was saying this morning, Galatians 5:5. The longing continues today. The yearning continues today. We find ourselves still longing today. The Christian life oscillates between two poles, for lack of word. Not north and south, but between the overflowing joy of the already redeemed and the tearful yearning of the not yet fully redeemed. We never leave one or the other in this life. We are sorrowful and yet always rejoicing. It says in 2 Corinthians 6:10. But he is here. And the names listed in this precious prayer or hymn that was penned so long ago, and the workmanship in penning it has so much detail within it. I love this. For those of you who are in our creative team and you write songs and you submit them, for those of you who don't know this, it gets submitted to a beautiful body of people who go over the theology of our songs. And I was thinking about that and the process of it, and Gray and I have been a part of the process of that in the past and gone, oh, it feels like there's so many hoops to jump. And yet, when I studied this song out, not only is the detail of the writing of the song so specific, it's written in Latin, and the verses of the names of Jesus as they are delivered in order spell out in translation a word that says, may he come tomorrow. just the names of Jesus listed. And I want to bring these out today. He is here. The names listed in this precious Christmas hymn is the encouragement we need to continually, eagerly await his return. Every name of Jesus is full of hope. Emmanuel from Isaiah 8:8. God is with us. He will pay the ransom that only God could pay. The rod of Jesse, Isaiah 11:1. Springing from a dead stump, he will free his people by death and resurrection from Satan's tyranny and make them free forever. The day spring, Luke 1:78. The dawn of God's kingdom, he will be the light of the world and banish the hopelessness of darkness. The key of David from Isaiah 22:22. He rescues us from hell, locks the door behind us, unlocks the door of heaven, and brings us home. Come on. And the desire of all nations from Haggai 2:7. He will draw the ransom from every people and make them a kingdom of peace. Can you imagine? This is who Jesus is. This is what he has already achieved and he will complete. And so with every verse, the refrain reaches down musically into our weak hearts and pulls us up in faith to see the certainty of the end. And so we cannot help but declare in the chorus, rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel, shall come to thee, O, insert your own name. Artistically, the rhythm of longing in the verses, punctuated with the powerful bursts of joy in the choruses, are just about perfect. The mystery and the wonder of Christian living are captured. Sorrowful, yearning, yet always rejoicing. Already, but not quite yet. Fulfillment of glorious promises, yes, but consummation in the new earth with new bodies and no sin, not just yet. We are left confident, but still crying out, oh, come, Emmanuel. And so, what is to be our response to Emmanuel? God sent his son to us to literally be with us. The translation, be with us. Not afar, but with us. What is to be our response? This is the revelation I pray that each and every one of us capture to walk into 2021 with. He came and humbled himself to be with us so that we would have an example of how we are to come, humble ourselves and be with him. He came and humbled himself to be with us. So in response, we would have an example of how we are to come, humble ourselves, and be with him. That is his ultimate desire, that we would be with him as he declared in his name he was with us. How often are we with God? Truly, alone, pulled away from the rest of the world, in quiet and stillness, in his presence, with him, with God. I believe God is beckoning us right now in history, in this holiday season, to experience his Emmanuel, God with us, his nearness. Our souls need it, and God longs for it with us. Just as you desire to experience his presence and his peace, God wants to experience your nearness too, simply because he loves you. He created you for that purpose. One of the greatest privileges of the Christian faith is to be with God. Engaging in solitude with your Creator is a life-giving celebration of his heart. Our God isn't after what you can do for him. He's also not after fixing you up. His desire is to have you, be with you, know you, and you know him. He's all about being with his people in restored, unhindered relationship. What a gift we could give in this season to our God for his gift given to us. Isaiah 7 from 14 prophesied about the birth of Christ, saying, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call him Emmanuel." Emmanuel meaning God with us. How amazing is it the King of heaven and earth would desire to be called with us? With us, of all the things. I'm going to be really honest. In my selfishness and my pride, would want to be called Lord of all. King, Queen, Savior, Ruler. Everything that places myself above, but he chose to be named with us. How amazing is it that the King of Heaven would desire to be called this? That our Creator would want to be known as one who would write himself into the history of his creation in such a way to be tangibly, truly present with us. When we take time to get alone with the Father, apart from any other agenda, to simply open our hearts and be with him, we declare to ourselves and to God that our lives will be centered around him and not ourselves. When we make space to hold off even on questions, I've had to do this in this Advent season, to even hold off from reading and studying and simply sit and be with him, to rest in his nearness, we discover that God is far better and more loving than we could have ever guessed. And he has so much more to say to us personally. With God is a place of abundant joy. It's a place of peace and encounter that is no spiritual discipline can bring. It's a source of perspective, sight, and freedom in times typically marked by frivolous pursuits and stress. And it's a cornerstone of Christian spirituality, a pursuit of God that casts aside every ulterior motive to simply, purely be with God. And so I'm going to ask us this morning, each of you, as you came in, were given a communion. And I think that this is an incredible way that we could take some time in this service, each and every one of us, to stop, to listen, and be with God. Why don't you open them right now? As I read this passage, John 1:14 says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." So this morning, the heart of Jesus is marked by grace and truth. He sees you as you are. He knows exactly what you need. Would we take time to discover the grace of God and let him speak to you as you simply open your heart this morning and listen? We're going to take just a moment in this service, when I've finished praying, to listen to the beautiful words of "A Come, Come, Emmanuel." And during that, at your leisure, would you partake this morning and just allow God to be with you and you with him. May your heart be filled with peace and joy as you encounter Emmanuel this morning, God with us. And may your response be by being with him. God, we humble ourselves this morning in response to your gift, Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. God, would you reveal yourself to us this morning as we sit, wait, listen, and be with you. Amen.
It's so easy, hey, just to spend time in His presence. That's all it takes. After a moment like that, you can pull out the Bible, start reading the Bible, and He'll start to speak to you through the Word of God. That's how God speaks to us. You know, communion, which we just did, represents the life of Jesus, the death of Jesus, and the resurrection of Jesus. Because the blood, which is the cup we just drank, just represents it. That blood came, was formed, and grew a child. And that child with the life in the blood, the body formed and became a man. The blood also represents, and the wafer you just took also represents, that man, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, died on a cross. That moment when He was on the cross, He set a few things straight. The veil in the temple tore. Do you remember that in the Word of God? The veil tore, which means you and I now have access to His presence like we just experienced. We can now hear the voice of God directly through the Scriptures. We can now commune with God. We can live in His presence, in His knowing, in His authority, in His power, in His giftings. But when Jesus died, the Bible teaches us that He went to the pit of hell, Hades, however you want to look at that, and He took the keys and He set the captives free. And then what's brilliant is He then rose again. And what makes His death so powerful for you and I is never before and never again will the Son of God die by human hands, by anybody. He has conquered the power of death. That's the gospel. And in doing all that, He then has given us the opportunity to live a life of victory, of blessing, of authority, of power, of dominion over this earth, just like was given to Adam and Eve originally in the garden, dominion over the earth. We have access to that again. Simply by believing in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, in His death and in His resurrection. See, when Jesus went to heaven and ascended to heaven, the Gospels tell us that the disciples and many others actually saw His body go up into heaven. And He said, it's better that I go because I get to send my Spirit. And it's the Holy Spirit now that dwells in you and I. And when we give our hearts to God, that Spirit of God, it's like it comes alive in us. And the personhood of Jesus, of the Spirit of God, of the Spirit that Jesus gave to us, the personhood of Him lives and dwells in you and empowers you to live a life of victory. No matter your situation, no matter what you've ever done, no matter the world that you might live in today, your finances, anything at all in your world, you have the power to be an overcomer because of the power of the Holy Spirit that Jesus gave to us in His victory. Amen. I love it. I love it. And it might sound mystical to some. It might still seem like a far out story to some people here today. And it's true, it is like that until you experience Him. And when you experience Him, you'll never, ever turn back. Because He is real. His Word remains faithful. God still reigns. Jesus is still alive. And His Spirit is still searching you out. If you don't believe or have never given your heart, to Jesus before, maybe today you've come in and you've been searching for something. Maybe you were dragged in with a family member. It doesn't matter how you're here. I believe you're here for a reason today. I believe that this Christmas season, God had an ordained time for you because now is your time. Because now you're ready to receive His love. You're ready to place your hope and your life into His hands. So if you're here today, I'm going to give you the opportunity to acknowledge Him, to declare Him over your life, and to give your heart to Him. Best decision you could ever make. Best decision I ever made. Best. I've got to be honest, I don't know what people do without God in their life. Every hard time, and every Christian here could vouch for this, but we go through hard times just like other people. There's no difference in that world, except for we hold on to Jesus. We know that we will get through anything. We hold on. I remember some of the darkest times of my life, just being able to go, Holy Spirit, I know that You're with me. Jesus, Emmanuel, God, You are with me. And so I get to talk to You in my car right now. Well, I feel like I'm going to go crazy and I'm so angry. I get to talk to You. Would You strengthen me? Because Your Bible says that You will do that. And I really need it. And you get to have that relationship with God too when you give your heart to Him. So can I ask that everybody in this place will just close their eyes just in honor of the moment. And in a second, we're going to do two things. I'm going to give you an opportunity to give your heart to God. And then once you do, we're all as a church body, we're going to confess Jesus again, afresh for all of us. And for you, this will be your first time that you've been able to do it as a son or a daughter of God. So every eye is closed in this place. Could I ask today, if you want to take this bold step of giving your life to God, would you be bold and just lift your hand just so I can see that this morning? I'm just going to look around a few times. If that's you today, would you just lift your hand? I see that hand at the back there. Thank you very much. I see your hand there. Thank you very much. Is there anyone else here this morning? No one can see. Just be bold. Just be bold. Greatest moment receiving God into your life. And I see your hand back there, ma'am. God bless you. Just going to ask one more time. I'm not in a rush to move on. I've got all day. Just be bold if you'd just like to lift your hand. God bless. God bless. This is what we're going to do. Church, could I just ask that everybody repeat this out loud after me? This is what traditionally we call the sinner's prayer. And it's confessing out loud what you've done today with your faith. Would you say this after me? Jesus, thank You.